Father, I pray that as we face the storms of life, Lord, that we would know that You're there to guide us and direct us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. Lord, I pray now that Your Holy Spirit would work in every life in here, that we might reflect on this last year and what's happened. But Father, we would look forward to what You're going to do in this new year. How You're going to change us. How You're going to transform us. How You're going to use us. May Your will be done now in Jesus' name. Amen. It's funny because the song Mitzi sang, like the second song, Is There Room in Your Heart? And the title of the message today is No Room. Is there room in your heart? There's no room, okay? And what I want to begin with is Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And it says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. What I was thinking about this week is I'd heard a preacher giving the Christmas message, and he kind of emphasized this about there no room for him in the inn. And it just sent my mind thinking about how many of us are so busy with life, so busy with work, so busy with our kids, so busy with just living that we really don't make room for Jesus anymore. We like to think we do. We say, you guys being here today, that's a great and wonderful thing. You know, it's fantastic. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you being here, but being here on Sunday and then taking Jesus to work with you on Monday morning. You know, I told y'all a few weeks ago about waking up and telling the Lord, thank you for another day. And thank you for your work, or just praise God. Thank you for breath in my lungs. And I try to do that every morning. And you know, since I challenged y'all to begin to do that, I hadn't been doing it as good. I've been waking up going, oh, another day. Gotta go to work. Gotta work, you know, but really to have the heart and have the mind of making room for Jesus in each and every moment of each and every day of our life. But how many of us, it's like Jesus is still just a small part. He's still standing at the door, knocking, hoping to come in. We had last week, we had a family friend show up at our house. I don't even remember what night it was. He had texted and asked if he could come by and said he had something for Hayden for graduating. And when he got to the house, I knew he was there. We got cameras up now, so I knew he was there, and he knocked on the front door, and so I opened up the door, and he's got his boots on, and he'd been out working all day, and so he just barely steps in the house, and he was there, but he wasn't really there. Does that make sense? And we stood there in the doorway and talked for a few minutes. And I said, man, do you just want to come in and sit down and visit a while? And he kicks off his boots and he stayed a couple hours. And we had a great time visiting. He doesn't do that very often. It was wonderful to have him there. And he come and hung out with us. See, when he was on the front porch, I knew he was there. When he stepped inside the door, he was kind of there, but there's still that, are you staying or not? You know, that kind of uncomfortable moment. But after he took his shoes off and come in and sat down on the couch, and we just had a wonderful time. I wonder how many of you, Jesus is still on the front porch. Or maybe he's just barely stepped inside the doorway, but you're still kind of uncomfortable to hang out. You're kind of uncomfortable to let him fully in. See, there was no room for Jesus in the inn when he was born. And I believe that many of us today, we're still having trouble letting God have room in our life. And not just have room to be true Lord of our life. As we begin a new year, I would like you guys to begin to think about, have I made room for Jesus in my life? Have I made room for God to be Lord Is God really number one, or is He just an afterthought? Is He just a tiny, tiny dot in the days of the week? Is He just an hour on Sunday morning and then the rest of the week I don't really think about Him much? Or has He become everything to you? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you failed the test. And so, as we're thinking about a new year approaching, I would really like you guys to examine yourself and say, is there really room for Jesus in my life? Is there really room for Jesus in my day to day? Is Jesus my Lord? He's my Savior. Is there areas of weakness that you need to work on in this new year? Is there areas that you're struggling with? As we examine ourselves, is there areas? And I'm going to tell y'all, I've been struggling lately. I've been struggling a lot. I've been miserable. And I've had a lot of anger. And I've been, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what are you trying to show me? Why does these things keep happening? And I believe it's to show me that I need areas in my life cleaned up. I need areas in my life worked on. I need areas in my life fixed, because there should not be that much anger. There should not be that much negativity in my heart and in my life. And so as we're beginning a new year, I'd really like you guys to examine yourself. You know, I get to sit up here and confess all the time how I've blown it. Do you blow it? Do you recognize that you're blowing it? You know, sometimes we're in difficult situations to see what we're made of. And sometimes life isn't fair. You know that? My kids hate it when I pick on them and talk about them. But I'm going to this morning, just a minute, on Hayden. Hayden had to miss a class because he was going for an interview at Conway to get into physical therapy school. He can't change it. They set the date. They say, you got to be here. So he had to miss a class. And his professor told him, I'm not excusing it. You're getting a zero for that day. He went to her three different times and tried to explain to her, I can't change this. This is to further my education. I can't change it. And she didn't care. You're getting a zero for that day. He was angry. I was angry. I wanted to go talk to the counselors or the dean or whoever myself. This is ridiculous. But then after I stopped for a minute and I prayed, and I said, you know what? Sometimes in life things aren't fair. And we can't control other people, but all we can control is how are we going to handle it? How are we going to get through these situations and through these circumstances? And I told Hayden, I said, in life things aren't going to always be right and things aren't always going to be fair. And sometimes we just have to leave things in God's hands. And it's the same with me at work. Sometimes I'm just miserable. And I say, God, is my time up here? Do I need a new job? Because I should not be this miserable, but I am. But then I think, but who really needs to change? And it's my attitude and it's my heart. I need to be examining myself and say, why is this coming out of me? Because life isn't always fair. Things aren't always fair. And sometimes you're going to deal with adversity. Sometimes you're going to deal with hardship. Sometimes you're going to deal with things. And I think we get so focused on how we're being mistreated and how things aren't fair. And God's nowhere in the thoughts. Jesus is nowhere in the thoughts. And we're not examining ourselves saying, is this a moment that I can learn? Is this a moment that God can show me something? So I'd like you to examine yourself and think about areas of weakness. Think about areas that you need to improve on. And I also would like you to think about areas in your life that you're doing great, but you can build on. It's great you're all here this morning. This is wonderful. But how can we build on it? What would you do in this next year that you haven't been doing to help you grow closer to the Lord? What are some things that you can change in your life to build upon? I'm spitting up here. That you can build upon to show that, man, my walk with God is getting so much better. And I started this year, I don't miss church. You know, maybe in this next year, I don't need to skip devotionals like I have been. Maybe this next year, I need to add 10 minutes of prayer time. Maybe this next year, I need to make a priority to read my Bible every day. And just what areas in your life can you build on? Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You know, if you're lacking in an area of your life, any of you feel like you're lacking? And I don't mean in just material things. Maybe you feel like you're lacking in material possessions, but sometimes I'm lacking in patience. Sometimes I'm lacking in love for people. There's areas in my life that I'm lacking in, and I wonder, why am I lacking in that? But you know what the problem is? I'm not seeking first His kingdom. See, if you're lacking in something in your life, I would challenge you, are you seeking God first? If you're missing something, if you're not fulfilled in an area, are you seeking God first? Because He says, but first seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world." And as I was reading this and I was thinking about this and I was thinking, what is the pattern of this world? The pattern of this world is no room for Jesus. In the worldly system, there's no room for Jesus. There's no room to stop and pray. There's no room to be patient and wait on the Lord. It's go, go, go. It's win at any cost. That's the world system. But so how many of us are living by the pattern of this world? Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How many of us, we've got decisions to make? And sometimes we don't know which way to go. Sometimes it's like two doors are open. Which door do I take? It's not obvious sin. It's not like rebellion. But it's just saying, God, where do I go? What do I do? Well, how many of us have been seeking His kingdom first and transforming our minds? So then we'll know what God's will is. Then God will show us where we're supposed to go and how we're supposed to do. But so many of us, we don't make room for God in our life. We make decisions based on money or vacation or what suits to get my kids ahead in sports or what suits for this or what suits. And there's no room for Jesus. Some of us in this new year, and this is a big one, we need to stop living in the past. Have any of you had major regrets in your life? You wish you could change things. Can we change anything that we've done? No. You know, Satan beats me up a lot for past. It's amazing to me. I told Crystal this week, I said, you know, I had a memory this week, and now I can't even remember what it was, but I said it was a really happy memory. And I said, it's funny how you just forget things. But you know, things that I don't forget is when I've blown it, and when I've hurt people, when I was a jerk, when I wish I could change things. Why? Why can I forget a happy memory? Why can I forget something wonderful? But when I've blown it, when I've made a mistake, when I was a jerk, when whatever it was, I have a hard time forgetting that. See, some of us, we need to lay down the past and let it be in the past. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We need to begin to put behind us the mistakes we've made. One thing I've done is I hadn't always learned this lesson, but I tried to, is to learn from my mistakes, but stop dwelling on them. Because Satan wants you to dwell on them. Stop dwelling on those mistakes. And another thing that we got to do is past successes. You know, I know people that in church and in ministry, and they'll talk about some great thing that happened 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. Remember this, remember that, remember this. But you know what? Jesus has something for you today. Jesus has something for you in this coming week, in the coming months. And when all we can hang our hat on is an experience that happened 20 years ago, 10 years ago, or even 10 months ago. We need to forget that's behind and press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And I'm preaching to myself here. Because when I'm hanging on to, oh, I'm such a loser, I'm so pathetic, and why did I do that, and I wish I could change it, I'm not acting mature. I'm not acting mature. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. As if some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. See, if I'm stuck in the past, stuck in past failure, stuck in past regrets, or even stuck in past success, how are people going to follow my example for today? Have you ever been fallen under that condemnation and you're just miserable? You're not effective for the kingdom of God when you're miserable and, oh, I'm such a horrible person. But see, when we're living by an example, then we can put that past behind us. We can't change it. We can learn from it and be new and be different today. For as I have often told you before, and now say even again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Here, where I was talking about examine yourself, I want you to examine yourself with these verses. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. How many of you is that you today? Your mind's on earthly things. Your stomach controls you. Your wealth controls you. The promotion controls you. The sports control you. Whatever it is, your mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enabled Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. We can't live in the past anymore. We have to understand that it's in the past. We can't change anything. We've learned from it. But now we're going to keep going. And the pattern of this world, we're no longer under. The pattern of chasing after the worldly wealth, after chasing after food, and chasing after all this thing. But our minds are transformed now. See, something's different. Can you examine yourself today and say, I'm different now. Life isn't the same. I don't chase after those same things anymore. And see, I think if we were all honest, many of us couldn't say that. We're still chasing after the world. We're still chasing after the things of the world. And what's that doing? It's pushing Jesus out so there's no room for Him because of the world. Isaiah 43:18 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praises. How many of us are proclaiming God's praises and saying, I'm going to forget about the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Some of y'all's wearing the shirts today. That's one of the verses on the back of your shirt. See, I am doing a new thing. Are you guys ready to be done with the old sinful nature, to be done with the old man, the old woman, and say, this year I want to be different. This year I want a new thing to happen. This year I want to be more like Jesus. I want my mind renewed. I want this to be the greatest year that I've ever had because I'm following Jesus wholeheartedly because I've made room for Him. God wants to do something new with each and every one of us. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 60, 70 years or 6 or 7 weeks. I believe that Jesus has a purpose and a plan for you and for me. If we'll make room for Him, if we'll allow Him into our hearts, if we'll allow Him into our life. Psalms 37, 1 through 9 says, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Man, we hear that verse all the time. We've got it on our refrigerators. We got it on paintings. We got it on pictures in our houses. And delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. But do we truly delight ourselves in the Lord? See, when I'm delighting myself in the Lord, I'm not delighting myself in the world, in the worldly system, in the way of the world. Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath and do not fret. It leads only to evil. You hear that? It's where Pete needs to work on my anger. And do not fret. It only leads to evil. How many people still living in fear everywhere? Everywhere. And just about the time you think you've conquered fear, then here comes the news. Here comes the media. Oh, we got another variant. Or we hear about a family friend or someone that we love is in the hospital and sick and fear and fear and fear. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Some of us in this new year, we need to begin to pray and ask God and ask the Holy Spirit to begin to guide us and direct us so that we'll not be full of fear anymore. Because some of us, we live each and every day full of fear. For evil men will be cut off, but those whose hope is in the Lord will inherit the land. See, I'm finding out my hope can't be in my ability. My hope can't be in my wealth. My hope can't be in my strength. My hope can't be in my health. My hope can only be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when my hope is in Him, then I can have peace. Then I can have confidence. Then it says, then I'll inherit the land. Then all those other things that come into my life, all those other things that try to bring me down, no longer have control over me because my hope is in the Lord. Is your hope in the Lord? Have you truly committed your life to Him? Is He number one? If He's not, today's the day to change things. Today is the day to ask Jesus Christ to save you, to ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord. Today is the day to forget about the past. Says He cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. when you confess your sins and you lay it at Jesus' feet, today is the day that your life can be transformed, that your life can be changed. And maybe you've asked Jesus to save you. Maybe you've asked Jesus to be your Lord, but you've just been struggling. You've just been struggling and life's just been hard. You've just been struggling and you've been full of anger, or that sin keeps entangling you. Maybe today is the day that you say, Jesus, I've not made enough room for you in my life, but from now on, I don't want to just make room for you. I want you to be my life. I want to surrender my everything to you. And we can renew our minds. Last verse, Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Have you committed your life to the Lord? Have you committed each and every day to Him? Are you willing, when you're impatient in a hurry, but God puts someone in your path to stop and talk to you, you'll stop and talk to Him? Are you willing, when the Lord lays someone on your heart, to give them a phone call or shoot them a text, to stop and give them a phone call or shoot them a text? Are you willing to let Him truly be Lord of your life and to commit your life to Him? In this new year, I gave you this message to think about it this week. And I truly want you to think about, where can I improve? What areas of my life have I been falling short? What areas of my life am I doing great and can I build upon? Ask the Lord to show you. Ask the Lord to guide you. Wouldn't it be just wonderful in this new year for us to have an explosion of discipleship, an explosion of being on fire for the Lord and being hungry for His Word, and life to change, and those things that grab hold of us now, that next year it'd just be a thing of the past that we don't even have to think about anymore? And wouldn't it be wonderful that we'd be so excited and reading the Word that we would have to come in here and you'd share with me what God's showing you, and you'd share with me what God's showing you, and you just can't even contain yourself because Jesus is doing such a work in your life, and week after week there'd be testimony upon testimony of look what God is doing. We can see that happen. It's not something that's out there. But it begins with us making room for Jesus and following Him and committing our ways to Him. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word. And I thank You for what You're doing. And I thank You for the forgiveness that You've offered to each and every one of us. And Lord, how Satan tries to remind us of the past. Satan tries to remind us and bring us under condemnation. Lord, that I pray for each and every one of us that we may be able to put the past in the past. And live freely, Lord. And live each and every day seeking You. Lord, if there's any in here this morning that we've just not made room for You, we've been busy with life, busy with sports, busy with work, busy with entertainment, busy with whatever it is, Lord, that right now, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that we would feel conviction and we would know the areas of our lives that we need to change. And Father, for those in here that's been walking with You, that's been seeking You, Father, if there's areas that we need to build on, areas that we need to improve upon, right now I pray that You would show us. Whether it's 5 more minutes or 5 more hours a day with You, whatever it is, Lord, that You would show us areas of our life that we need to see change. May this new year be a year like we've never had before, full of following Your Holy Spirit with no fear and no regret, seeking You each and every day. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning for anything, the altars are open.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine
I want y'all to understand something. When I was over there praying and I was thinking about the last verse, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will be successful. And I think sometimes we get the idea that when you're following Jesus, everything is just wonderful and everybody's going to get in line and life's just going to be great and you're going to have success and you're going to have overflowing abundance. But I was thinking about the man that found the treasure in the field. And what did it say he did? He went and sold everything he had to buy that field to get that treasure. And you know, following Jesus, we will have success. And there is a peace that you can't explain that cannot be taken away, that He is there with you. But He says, the world hated me, they're going to hate you. And so I don't want to give you some kind of false sense of security here. When you make up your mind to surrender and have Jesus take control, you're going to face obstacles, you're going to face hardships, you're going to face tough times. But Jesus is right there with you every step of the way. And He will guide you and He will direct you. And there's a peace that just cannot be taken away when you're following Jesus. Y'all have a happy and safe New Year. And Lord willing, we will see you next week.